everyone. Welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community on the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I get to interview the newest member of our very own content team here at Elegant Themes, BJ Keaton. BJ is a content creator who specializes in in-depth WordPress and web development tutorials. He's also going to be joining myself and Mac and appearing on video for the Elegant Themes community. You've probably already noticed him popping up on Facebook as the host of our new Friday live stream, This Week in WordPress. BJ's background is as a college English instructor and WordPress and web development hobbyist. He made the leap about a year ago to freelance writing, and in that time, he learned a lot about what it takes to make work-life work, how to be your best self, and of course, WordPress. We get into all of that and a lot more in today's episode of Divination. Here it is. BJ, welcome to Divination.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. It's always good to have members of the community on, and it's a real treat for me to have new members of my own content team on to tell their story to the community.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of it, is being able to talk to people back and forth, the comments. So it's great to be able to do this and actually hopefully get some back and forth going this way, too.
Yeah. So for everybody tuning in, BJ is the newest member of the Elegant Themes content team. And you've probably, if you follow us on Facebook, you've probably already seen the last couple Fridays we've been doing this live stream called This Week in WordPress. And that will be something that BJ owns in the very near future, where he is kind of taking control of that live stream, having people from our staff and maybe even from the community on to just talk about what's going on in the WordPress WordPress community, WordPress development, all things WordPress. Yep. And it's been fun so far, and I see only good things ahead.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun putting everything together and getting all the stories so that we can talk about. It's really made me a lot more aware of what's going on just in the daily part of WordPress, rather than the big releases and press releases. Just seeing what people are doing, honestly, down in the trenches of development, writing, and how the community is responding to some of this stuff.
So one of the things I like to do, BJ, is just have people talk to us about what their daily life is like. And I know your daily life has probably changed recently as you've been doing a lot more work with us here at Elegant Themes. So maybe you can speak to what your new routine is, and I don't know, maybe we can explore a little bit of what your old routine was like too. I definitely want to talk a bit about some of your earlier projects, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, my days recently have been, I am a creature of habit. So I set up a routine, I get everything going, and this is how it is going to be every single day. Mm-hmm. So I'll get up, make my oatmeal and my coffee every day. Even when I'm on vacation, I find a place that serves oatmeal and coffee, and I will eat that every day. So I'm going somewhere, that's what I do. I chill for an hour or two in the morning because I'm an early riser. I get up 5, 6 o'clock. So I'm always up, I'm eating, and I'll chill on the internet. I may be on Twitter or something like that. And then when the workday starts, I check the spreadsheet that we have to see what's going on, if anything has been added, new assignments that really need precedence. I will get on and see which articles I've actually started and make sure which ones I can get out for the community at that point and which ones are the most efficient to work on.
Yeah.
Because there's some I have to divide between multiple days to be able to not make my brain explode. And so I'll bounce between different articles that way. And I take a lunch break. That's been really important for me. I know you and I had talked about WordPress stream, because being able to separate my day is really important. And a lot of times I will go and actually sit on the couch with my laptop. That is the best thing about working from home, is being able to, whenever my office chair gets a little bit uncomfortable, I can go take probably half an hour to an hour and lie down with a laptop on my lap and just kind of stretch out my back because I'm an old man and I have to stretch out my back and then move back into my office. But basically, I'm portable with my laptop writing all day long. I keep about, 30 or 40 tabs open at any given time, looking between things. I have really bad habits of getting distracted. So I try to work on one thing at a time. But even like today, I'm working on the WordPress coding standards. Mm-hmm. And I have four, because there's HTML, PHP, CSS, and JavaScript. I'm going between all of them at the same time, even though I'm writing on one particular section, just trying to get an idea of what I'm doing. So a lot of what I do is research, where I work the article out in my head and then just sit and write it all out at that point.
Yeah, this is something that I've talked about with other content creators on the podcast before. We hit this a lot with Randy Brown, who was on, and this idea of sort of filling in the blanks. Because typically, you know, since we're all always writing about WordPress in some way, shape, or form, there's a good chance that we know in our heads before we even start that we have some base knowledge of the topic. It's may not be complete, but we have some base knowledge. And so it's like typically good, or a lot of people who do this day in and day out, because they have to keep things moving forward, get into the habit of creating this sort of like empty outline. And then mm-hmm. as they research, they like will throw stuff in the outline and then fill out the outline, then edit it down, and then refine it. And it's just sort of like, instead of sitting down and writing an essay, it's more like constructing an article or building an article.
It is. And that's been my process through school and everything. I will have just I will work out the framework in my head, and I'll put it all down whenever I can. And I'm a copy and paster. My writing is mostly revision, where if I'm writing anything at all, I am copying and cutting whole chunks of the article, paragraphs and paragraphs, and just moving them around. I'm just seeing which ones will fit where and what order flows better.
And just to clarify, not copying, pasting from other sources. We do check for that.
No.
But he's talking, I wanted to clarify because I knew what you meant, where it's, you know, you might write something in the body that ends up being the intro, or, you know, something, or vice versa.
Yeah, where I think, oh, this will be a great transition into this section. And then I realize, like, actually, that's the best way to close this article. That's not a transition. You just cut it off.
Yep.
And so that's a lot of my process during the day, is churning out a really what I always call vomit draft. I have my word vomit. And then I go back and actually make it polished and readable after that. So most of my day is trying to polish up the garbage that I throw out.
Well, I know exactly what you mean, and I think you've been doing a pretty darn good job of it so far here on the Elegant Themes blog. But let's talk a bit about your backstory. Let's get a little bit of history on you. I'm always curious, and now I know, because we've been through some interview process, we've hung out on Slack, we've talked in live streams, so I feel like I'm getting to know you, and I'd love to introduce you to the community in the same way. So what were you doing? Well, maybe we can do it this way. Why don't you give us sort of a brief rundown of some of the things you were doing before you came on board here with Elegant Themes?
Well, I've been freelancing for the last year. Mm-hmm. So it's been, I turned in my resignation for my last job on Halloween of last year. And so that's how long I've been just doing the freelance thing with web design and writing. And before that, for 9 years, I was a college English instructor, and I was working and running a learning center where we were doing all of the tutoring for the campus. It was a very small school in rural Tennessee, where we were just a small liberal arts college. And I was teaching English composition. World literature was the main thing that I taught. Mm. And then the majority of my job was being an administrator, where I was the director of our student resource center, of hiring tutors, sitting down with at-risk students, kind of being a liaison between, like, I wasn't quite an academic counselor. I'm definitely not a counselor by any means, but an academic advisor.
Yeah.
I was the guy that they came in when they had somebody to talk about. I said, I may not have the answers, but I'll find them. And I made myself kind of indispensable on, I know everything that I could possibly know on campus, and where they would even come in and say, hey, do you know where so-and-so is this afternoon? I can't find them. Like, yeah, they said they were going to the tennis game at 3 o'clock. So I go to the East Campus, and my buddies be like, how do you know that? I'm like, it's my job to know that. My job is to help these students, and that is what they need. So just being a yeah, I really was. I said, this is where you go when you want to know something. If I don't know, I'll find out. And it didn't matter what it was. It could have been, like I said, where students were, or, you know, where to find the best information online. But
yeah,
I was an English teacher for a long time.
That seems like a really indispensable skill, no matter what job you're doing, is the ability to find things out, to teach yourself, to learn. I think, and this is something talked about in other podcasts as well, is just this idea of taking responsibility for teaching yourself and growing yourself, and knowing where, not just where to find information, but how you learn and what it is that you need to get to, create a roadmap to your goals. So it's, if you want to be a better developer, if you want to be a better designer, you want to be a better writer, knowing what you don't know and then filling in those gaps with hard research, hard work.
And being okay not knowing that. Yeah. That's a really big thing for me, that I wanted to go into development. And when I started out, I wanted to be a coder and developer. And I hadn't done it in 18 years. I stopped doing it when I was in high school and got really frustrated at Fortran 77 and said, this is garbage. I'm not doing this anymore. I hate it. And moved into something different. And realizing I didn't know what modern coding standards were. I didn't know anything about modern web development. So I had to relearn all of that and be okay pretty much not knowing what I was doing anymore and fumbling around for a while. It hit my ego pretty hard, starting again at entry level stuff after, you know, running the place and being the boss and supervisor. And now I'm cool with it. I'm like, yeah, that's what I didn't do, but I'm happier now doing something that basically I did as a hobby and getting paid for it. So
yeah, that's actually a good question to ask is, I mean, what was it that made you want to leave your teaching position to freelance? I mean, like you said, you had to start over from scratch. I mean, that's not an insignificant decision.
It's not. There were a lot of things that actually played into it. The first being I hated teaching. I loved the administrative side of it.
Okay.
That the students are wonderful. I miss my students. I'm still playing Overwatch with some of my students every day, just about. Like, I love these guys. But I'm not cut out to be a teacher. I'm not organized enough to plan out an entire semester and lesson plans. If you haven't noticed, I ramble a bit. So getting through all of my information that I needed to get through, it was a challenge for me. I was much better at being reactive to things that the students needed, as opposed to being proactive and deciding what they needed to learn. And so I realized I just wasn't cut out for it. My wife and I had moved worked about an hour away from where we lived about an hour away from where my wife worked. And I lived about half an hour away at that point from the school. And then we moved where she had like a 5-minute commute because she had done that for 5 years. And I had an hour and a half commute at that point. And so I was like, yeah, she can do this. That's going to be no big deal for me to do. Turns out I have really bad anxiety, and being in a car for 90 minutes a day really exacerbated my anxiety. There were things going on that were changing a lot in the administration of the school that were triggering that. And I essentially had a nervous breakdown where it was bad. And I realized that my life needed to change, that I wasn't happy, that doing this wasn't something that I was invested in. I was invested in those students and helping people, but I needed a change. And it was just kind of all of that together where I just needed to get out and do something different and find something that I loved. And I was watching Hulu one day and saw a Team Treehouse ad. And I was like, I love programming. I love coding. I like poking around in WordPress and doing all this stuff on my blogs. I'm going to do that for a living. And Jennifer and I saved up and had enough. And she convinced me to quit my job a year early. than I'd originally planned. Just be like, I can't deal with your anxiety and doing this anymore. Just quit. We'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. All right, let's do this.
Yeah,
and it worked out really well. As she puts it now, I've led a very charmed existence because I never went out of work being a freelancer. I had a lot of really good opportunities that fell into my lap and was pure luck in every way whatsoever.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, the last year has been an interesting change.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, to go from... I mean, that is a 100% change, and a lot of people don't end up having it so smooth where they're go straight into freelance work. They have steady clients, and then they make the full transition into working for another company in a new industry. So congratulations, and we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk a bit about just some of the health stuff you mentioned, because I think it's a common theme on the podcast of people who just decide that the line of work that they're in is not what they want to be doing with their life. And so they want to make a change. And traditionally that's very hard to do, but with WordPress, and we like to think also with Divi, we're trying to empower people to do things that they normally otherwise wouldn't be able to. And so this idea that someone can add a few free or very affordable tools to their toolbox and essentially kickstart a new career, forge a new path in their life, that's something that we're all about. Like, it's one of our core values of empowerment. We want people to feel like they can go do things that they never thought were possible. And it sounds like that's very much part of your journey as well.
It really is. And even though it wasn't that I came to Divi a little bit later, because I had a friend who did web design and was freelancing, and that's what he was doing. And he pointed me in the direction of the tools he used was Ultimatum and Visual Composer. That was what he had fallen into using that he was familiar with. And I really got started doing this on a 6-year-old laptop that I had, an old MacBook with, I think it was a $72 license where I bought Ultimatum. Wow. And I just started doing it. I had a friend, I was on vacation, and I had a friend who runs an event planning company, and he was going in and they needed a new website. And he was like, hey, would you be able to do this? We'll pay you. What's your rate? And that was really when Jennifer, my wife, and I decided, you know what? You can get paid for this. Let's do this. And it really just went from there. I went and started talking to my buddy, found out what tools he used, because like I said, I was out of it. I had been using just various things on my personal blog, bouncing between different themes and figuring it out. And using Ultimatum really got me through that because it was an entry-level thing. Then I found Divi and redid my freelance site in it. And it's worked out really, really well. Just, I mean, I've said, I work for Elegant Themes now and kind of promote Divi because I'm biased and, you know, paid to. But I'd fallen into using it before I was getting paid for it. I was like, I like this. This works for me better because I, you know, found tools that worked that I didn't know existed, because I'd used Thesis before and it was great in 2009, I think, when I used it, but it wasn't something that was easy to freelance with right now.
Well, I'm taking a look at your personal blog right now, and it seems like, I mean, I love that you got into writing and using Divi and blogging, and I love the fact that you had multiple personal blogging projects. And it seems like maybe one of the most relevant things we could talk about, where your story overlaps with a lot of the stories in our community, is your blog Geek Fitness. This idea of kind of reclaiming your health as a as a person who works online, who freelances, who does things on their own terms, more or less. Tell me about how that project got started and what your journey with Geek Fitness was.
Well, it started because I was fat. I was really fat. I weighed about 310 pounds, and I'd always been the fat guy in my group of friends. I was fat forever. It was just kind of life. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I went on in 2010 a kind of second honeymoon. We were able to make a trip down to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter before it opened. They had a soft opening, so we were super excited about this. So cool. Like, there was a hashtag Potter Watch that people were saying when they let people in, if you were in the park, it was great. And so we ran literally from the gate to Hogsmeade that day. Like, I'm 300 pounds sprinting across Islands of Adventure. Like, I had to look just completely ridiculous. And we were so excited about this. We were so excited to get in. And so we go to the Dragon Challenge roller coaster, and it used to be Dueling Dragons, and I'd ridden it before. I loved it. And I get in, and I'm just jolly fat guy, and I'm over there, and I'm getting in, and I hop in the fat guy seat. And the dude can't get the seatbelt over me, the harness that comes over your chest, and it couldn't go over my gut. And, like, he got it to click one time, and it was when he jumped up and put his weight on it. Like, it was embarrassing. Clicked one time, they got the seat done, and then just sent it off. They were so busy, and I thought I was going to die. I thought that straight up I was going to be flung across Orlando and be that dude who everyone was looking at on YouTube, the, like, fat guy dies at Harry Potter World. And I was like, that's me. I was like, that is me. I can't fit on a roller coaster and enjoy my life. I have to do something. So my wife's family had been doing a low glycemic diet where they had cut out a lot of things and still were able to eat. They lost 40 pounds without exercise, and fat me, who didn't know how to exercise, like, great, let's do this. And really, it just started changing my lifestyle and learning how to do different things, learning how to eat, really not. And being from the South, it's food is really important to our culture. Yeah. And the more butter, and it's all fried and it's very hearty food here. Yeah. So learning how not to eat that for every meal, and how, you know, what calories were, what ordinary amounts of food were, how to like vegetables, mm-hmm. Was a process of going through. And that's kind of what Geek Fitness was about, because I learned to run, I dropped 150 pounds, I did all of this, but I'm still the dude who sits and plays Overwatch with my students and sits on my laptop and writes about WordPress. Kind of blending those kind of lifestyles where it's not absurd to be a runner and go out and enjoy this, and at the same time be excited that Destiny 2 came out today.
Absolutely.
They're not.
The default mode for our line of work tends to be very, very sedentary. So you have to make these very conscious decisions to be active, because if you didn't make a decision to be active, you would most likely just sit in your apartment or your home all day long, every day. And I think most of us have been there. I know I've been there. And I love this idea of, you know, taking control of the hours in your day, the time that you have, and the rituals that you have around meals and around work, and optimizing those, not just for your happiness, but for your health.
Yeah, and a couple of years after that, my dad died of heart disease. He had had heart attacks every year for 12 years. Oh, and I mean, I kind of joke about it now. It's like, we expected him to die way earlier than he did because of how bad the situation was. And just seeing the strain that put on my family, I was like, I can't do this to my family. I can't. I mean, I wasn't a chain smoker like he was or anything like that. But it was... I can't do this. I don't want that life for my family to worry. And it runs in my family. My dad's family has a lot of heart disease in it, and like blood clotting disorders. Like, I'm a hot mess genetically. And so I have to do something actively to make sure that I don't die when I'm 60, that I can actually live a happy life and be there for my family. And it was a choice that I made not to be the fat Southern guy anymore and be the obnoxious Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec guy. It's like, all right, I love lettuce. It's great. Let's run.
Yeah, that's I mean, I've been learning more and more about what genetics mean. I mean, it's kind of a fad right now with the 23andMe and stuff like that. Those services that will kind of tell you what your genetic history is and what you're predisposed to. Uh-huh. But as I've been learning about it, one of the interesting things, sort of the motivational mantras that doctors have started and researchers have started repeating, is your DNA is not your destiny. So there's this idea that people feel like if they have this history of obesity in their family or heart disease or cancer or whatever it is, it can feel like that's your destiny. It can be like, well, this is just, this is the family line. This is who I am. I'm part of it. And that's just my life. And the idea that, you know, I read this really great book on what your your DNA means for your life. And the guy said, you know, it's not straightforward. It's not like, it's code, but it's not like written in English where it's like when you put certain things in a certain order, it means one thing, you know. Instead, it's more like right. He used a metaphor of a gun. He's like, your genetics load the gun, your lifestyle and upbringing and everything else are what, you know, like pulls the trigger basically. And so if you're not, you know, if you decide to change your lifestyle and change the way that you're interacting with what you have, with your genes, you can prevent or just avoid the certain damaging or potentially damaging things being triggered later on. So
that's a really good point. You're going to have to give me the title of that book. I need to read that. That is exactly up my alley and in my wheelhouse. That I really like his metaphor there, because it's absolutely true. It's something I've experienced firsthand. So I I'm completely there and on board with that.
Yeah. I'll send you a link, but it was a book on, I think it was called Evolving Ourselves. And it was a guy who's, specializes in researching gene editing and gene therapy. And he talked about why those things are significant, and also how it's maybe like our current understanding of genes are flawed. And that was the part of the book that he was talking about. Like, most people think you have this gene, it means X automatically, but that's not necessarily the case. So, I think for a lot of people,
that's awesome.
Just knowing that that's a reality, knowing that like if you're in a family, everybody's overweight and you're overweight and you're at a sedentary job, you don't have to settle for that. And I like that you took the initiative to start a blog about it and document your journey and show those results. And I noticed you had, I'm on your blog right now. And I noticed you had a couple posts where it's like you went through your transformation and then you would have like setbacks where you would regain and have to go through it again. Yep. You have like a post called Starting Over Sucks. And I know I've been there. I know other people have been there. And I like that you have this mentality of being in control of what's going to happen next. Like that it's not just like throw your hands up, I can't beat this, or throw your hands up, I'm stuck in this place. It's more of like, it's just like what we do with everything else in our professional life anyway, here with Divi and stuff, is like, you know, we have the tools, we have the know-how, and we have the community support to be and to create exactly what we want.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how I approach it. That I've had lots of setbacks. I'm accident prone. I'm injury prone. Right now I'm 40 pounds heavier than I was when I was able to run a half marathon, and it's terrible. It sucks.
Yeah.
I had a nervous breakdown. I've been working on medication and counseling. I've been trying to get my life together. So, you know, running and, you know, having pants that fit wasn't necessarily my highest priority.
Yeah.
Now that I'm okay with that, I'm able to prioritize eating well again. I'm able to prioritize getting out and moving, taking a walk, doing anything at all, as opposed to just making sure that I'm not losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to understand, that even if you lose a lot of weight, that for a long time, that's going to be your identity. If that's who you are, if that's what your number one priority is, that is okay, but it's not always going to be that way.
Yeah.
That you have to set up a long-term lifestyle that you're going to fall off the wagon. I mean, like I said, if you've ever seen Parks and Rec, my friends used to really compare me to Chris Traeger, because I was that guy. Like, even my best friend, who we were running this learning center together, I'm this happy-go-lucky guy. It's like, you guys are all awesome. And he's like, you're all fired. And that was our dynamic in staff meetings, where we're like, I'm like, you guys did a good job. And he's like, yeah, but there's a lot of stuff you can do better. And my personality is that way. And so I took that with fitness as well, and health. And it's like, yes, let's do everything as well as we can. And right now I'm not, and that's okay. Eventually I'll probably get that way again, but I'm happy being able to know that I've done it and I've beaten the statistics because it's been 7 years now since I lost weight. And even though I've gained back some, I'm still within a perfectly normal range I'm not obese. I'm not in danger of having a stroke like I was. I don't have type 2 diabetes anymore. I'm good now. So that's really, I won the lottery. I mean, my wife said, I have a very charmed existence in a lot of ways for that. And so I feel that because of that, I want to show people it's possible to do this. Yeah. I mean, I'm just a dude in Alabama. I mean, that's what it is. And if I can do it and I hated sweating and being outside, they can do it too.
Yeah. So maybe you can talk a bit about, some of the key lessons you learned in terms of, like what made that sort of personal transformation possible? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening who are, they find themselves in that kind of classic situation we described where, you know, they wake up, they have a lot to do, they sit down at their computer and they just get to work and they grind it out the whole day and then they repeat it and over and over and over again, they find themselves just sitting and get feeling more and more unhealthy, but powerless to change it because they just always feel under the gun.
Well, for me, it was prioritizing it. It was looking at it as though this is non-negotiable, that one way or another, I'm doing something. It might be that when I go to the store today, I'm going to park at the road and walk all the way across the parking lot. And if that's what you do, if that is a conscious decision that you prioritize, then you won. I mean, that's something that you did to make your life better. For me, I know I've mentioned it to you that I would not take meetings before 10 a.m. because that was my running time. That was my start time. That was when my center opened, unless it was my direct supervisor or my dean or my president who needed me. Yeah. That's my time. That is my running time. I will take you 10 a.m. and after. I will do anything in the world I can for you. But I made sure that I did my exercise, I did my running, I did everything I could. And in terms of eating and nutrition, I stopped looking at it as being restrictive. I found things that I liked. I tried every food that I always hated. Still hate black olives, cannot stand being near them. I really don't like being near them to this day. And if you're eating them, I'm going to judge you if you're near me. And But it's not that I don't eat anything, or it's not that I can't eat anything. It's that I don't. Yeah. That was a really big mindset change for me. It's like, oh, I want that cookie and I can't eat it. It's like, I don't eat cookies right now, or I don't eat cookies anymore. I don't eat entire cakes in a day anymore. If I want a piece of cake, I'll have a piece of cake, but I make it reasonable. And so setting myself into a routine where it was being able to be content and not depriving myself, where even if I'm sitting at home and working and I cannot figure out what I'm doing, if there's this article that I'm working on and it just won't work, that I just can't, like, I cannot get it to make any sense, I'll go out for a walk. I'll go out for a run. I'll go play a match of Overwatch just to separate myself from it and then come back and not grind through it. Yeah. That grind is worse for me than anything else. That I've learned that being able to separate makes me 10 times more productive because I'm not just pounding against a wall, that it's, I can just do something else, and allowing myself the freedom to fail, like quitting my job. I'm good. I quit my job. There was a very good chance I would have failed at that. We were never in the position to lose our house or anything like that because my wife is employed full time, but we had to do a lot of cutbacks. We had to scale things back, and allowing myself the freedom to fail and learn what I could from it and see what works for me and us and what kind of lifestyle we wanted. And just kind of, if this doesn't work, I can make a change eventually. My counselor helped me realize that I can't make a right or wrong decision. I can only make a decision. And if it doesn't work out, I can make a better decision next time. And just that, I mean, it sounds kind of hokey and therapy and like, oh yeah, that really worked.
Yeah, because then it takes away the guilt and shame of making mistakes. It's just a decision that could have been better at that point, and that's very freeing. And I want to circle back around to something you said.
That I did something.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to circle back around to something you mentioned a little bit ago, where you said, you know, you instead of grinding out a full day, you break it up with, you know, walks, runs, video game sessions, whatever, just something to break up the monotony. And I think that's a huge, that's another huge mindset change that a lot of people who freelance have to make, because to them, or, you know, and I'm speaking from personal experience, sitting in front of your computer is kind of your job. And so you do, when you have something that you're working on, it's very easy to go, well, I don't know the answer to this right away, but I'm going to sit here until I figure it out. And that's not, like, you can think anywhere. Like, you can you can think on a walk. You can think on a run. And I know for my own personal health, one of the biggest things that I started doing was very similar to what you did, which was just go on a walk. I just started adding walks into my day. And if there was something I was working on and I felt like I was banging my head against the wall, I wouldn't do that at the computer. I would do it, you know, while I'm on a trail somewhere, or while I'm walking around the neighborhood or around a track. And that made a huge difference in just my general health and physical, just the way I felt. And another
and
thing,
my
I wanted,
friend who had got me into freelancing is the one who taught me about that. Yeah. And he was saying that I count those as billable hours, because if I'm out for a run and I'm running and thinking about how I can best code this, that because for him and me, running is kind of meditative.
Yes,
he was like, that is work time, because my mental energy, I'm an information worker, and my mental energy is doing this.
Yeah.
And it's me solving it exactly like you said. I can think anywhere. I just happen to be running. And then you come back and you've figured out the answer while you've been out there working through that logic in your mind. It really changed my life in terms of how I worked by doing that.
Another thing that you mentioned that is very similar to lessons that I learned was the idea of just picking something each day that is an intentional decision that kind of means that you win. I actually had a journaling thing that I did for a long time when I was really severe. I was much more overweight than I wanted to be. Let's put it that way. I don't know quite where I maxed out at on the scale, but it was quite a bit more than I weigh now, and I didn't like it. And so I made this decision to I called it win the day, and it was I wrote down a whole series of healthy things that I could do, and I would pick one for the day, and I would say, if I just do this one thing today, I've won the day. And I would do it like first thing in the morning, or I would have it at a specific time during the day. And I would be like, okay, at 12 noon, I'm going to win the day. Everything else can fail. If I do this one thing, I've won the day. And that gave something as simple as one healthy thing a day gave me the kind of momentum to move into sort of the next phase, which I thought of as like recreating my habits, rituals, and routines, which is much harder. I mean, if you go straight from living super unhealthy to a really regimented lifestyle, it can be very difficult, and it can feel like what you were mentioning earlier. It can feel restricting. It can feel overwhelming. It can feel like you're saying, I can't do an awful lot, as opposed to, you know, making more kind of habit-based decisions where it's like, I can do stuff, but just within reason or just within, you know, proportion.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would do that win the day thing. And then when that gave me enough confidence and gave me enough momentum, I would say, okay, well, I'm going to take some of these habits that I've been winning with, and I'm going to add them into my everyday life. And so now I only eat oatmeal for breakfast, or whatever the case is, or I salad every day for lunch. And that was just huge for me. I always encourage people when they're freelancing, if they want to feel like they have more control, and I want to feel like they have the ability to grow, don't go on a diet, don't go on a work binge or whatever. Just start looking at your day and see if you can create habits, rituals, and routines that are better than your defaults. It doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be better. And then you can refine it. Take some time every month to go, you know, that's a lot better than what I was doing before. I tend to have a better day when I have a breakfast and when I read a book and when I go for a walk and, you know, have a salad, whatever the case is. And then go, well, it would be even better if I did this, and you just keep refining and refining until you have, you know, a real solid kind of template mm-hmm. for your day that really works for you. You'll find that you just get a lot more
done. I really
like
the term that you use, better than default. I think that's such a good term, that just being able to say, this is better than what I would normally do.
Yeah. That's, or what I would do without a plan.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Because most people, they just get up and they go about their day, and it's a reactive day. You know, it's just, okay, what's going on today and how do I need to react to it? But if you can create something that's just a little bit better than the default mode of your life, all of a sudden things start getting better and start looking and feeling better, and you're getting more work done, you're getting more exercise, you're eating better, you know, and it's not these huge changes that you can't maintain. It's very simple. You can do it every day because you've created it as a day.
Yeah. And that was something you said, you can get more work done. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to do that when I started working for myself and starting using a planner. And just even I use erasable pens because everything changes on a whim. I'm sure you're aware of this, that things may come up in your life may not work out exactly like you've got planned. But being able to write down and keep all of my articles for a week, and this is the day that I'm working, I put a due date on everything mm-hmm. and I make sure that I can erase it and do that, but I can at least look at my day, see, okay, this is what I have to do today, and put a time on it. Mm-hmm. That being able to, I learned that last fall whenever I started this, that I'm, like I said, I'm not good at planning out. I can't do extended periods. That if you ask me right now to plan out, as my content manager, if you ask me to plan out to December, you're going to be very disappointed in me. It is not going to work out. But if you told me to plan out this month, I'm great because I can, that is within a reasonable amount of time, I can shuffle stuff. Mm-hmm. And I learned that going on, that for me, that's how I work. And just know that's better than my default of sitting down and being like, I'll do this today. Yeah. And then not accomplishing anything. That, like you said, one thing, win the day. Even if nothing else gets done, I know that I did this that I set up to do. Mm-hmm. And it snowballs into having entire to-do list that I can knock out in a day or two, that I know for a fact that last spring, there is no way I could have done that. There is absolutely no way in my history that I would have been able to handle being that organized and that on point and disciplined.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know exactly.
Because it's better than my default.
It's better than the default. I love that. Well, hey, we're getting close on time. So let's try to end with something that's pretty common on our podcast, a closing thought. If someone, based on your story and what you've shared with us today, and because we've covered a lot of ground, this might be a little difficult, so no pressure, but just sort of take your time if you want to collect your thoughts. But if someone were to forget almost everything we've talked about in this episode, but they had one thing to remember, what would you want someone to take away from this conversation and carry with them?
Oh, man. Really, don't do things that make you unhappy. That be purposeful. That whenever I started being deliberate in what I tried to do, my life got better. That whenever I started even looking a day ahead, like not planning anything out, not trying to look a year out and trying to project every last step, but be deliberate in mm-hmm. every choice that you make will make a better life in the long run. That I learned that if I can make a deliberate choice for what I'm doing as my very next step, that even if that step is I'm going to get off of this call and make a sandwich, take a lunch hour, and then dig in for 4 hours and ride as hard as I can, that is a choice that I made about my day. Mm. If you're looking for a new job, look for a new job. Be okay just seeing what's out there, because that is a choice that you made to see what is available. Mm-hmm. And then the next one might be applying for a job. You probably won't get it. I mean, yeah, that's the way it goes. But that next step, you made a deliberate choice to apply for a job and made yourself comfortable. And that's, I know that's made me a lot more content as a person, is whenever I'm deliberate and purposeful, that having at least something going on that I dictated, anything else can explode. The world will explode. My life has crazy things going on in it every time, just like everybody's does. Yeah. But at least there is one thing that you can deliberately do every day. And that I think will make someone's life better in the long run, is being mindful and purposeful.
That's excellent advice, and something that I think people can take with them no matter what it is they're doing. I mean, obviously you're a content writer, a budding web developer, and a Divi user as well. And that mentality has served you well. And I have no doubt that if anybody in our community decides to adopt that idea of being deliberate, purposeful, of upgrading their defaults, whatever you want to call it, that we'll see some positive results for them as well. So thank you very much. And I think we're going to sign off now.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, BJ Keaton, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope to see you all around the community. As always, I will be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.